The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from KHUH LP 104.9 FM Seattle, it is time for The Thunderbolts! Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day, you turned on your radio, and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! Yes. Welcome to the Thunderbolt for April 7th, 2017. You know, I must admit to harboring a highly grudging admiration for our new president's idiot savant genius set badness. Yes, it would seem that no matter how much I lower my expectations, the rump invariably so far exceeds them that I am simply left flabbergasted with my jaw hanging open. Yes, kids, we are being subjected to such a constant and non-stop barrage of absolute disaster on every imaginable front that I am beginning to think that we won't have to wait very long before this whole strike bomb explodes in everyone's face. The fact that the general consensus seems to be that we don't have enough money to provide children with even the most basic necessities of life, but we do have enough money to give monstrous tax breaks to people who already own many times more than anyone has any business owning in the first place. The fact that this is not only not being written off as insanity, but that this is being presented as the only reasonable public policy under the circumstances. Well, all of this nails the problem right on the head. Insanity has been normalized, and thus insanity has become reality. And if you have any doubt that under the Rump's administration, things are going to get anything but far worse than they already are, well, our new president just released his new budget. And the man has a highly annoying habit of completely nailing the right problems and then coming up with the perfect solution for making that problem exponentially worse. The Rump's budget is so outrageous because he is employing game theory business practices and starting negotiations out on Jupiter, hoping that when the dust settles, we will find ourselves on Mars saying WTF. Ultimately, all that the Rump is doing is following the already established trajectory and taking our national madness to its next level. We have hot rails to hell. All aboard!
1277 Express to hell.
So here is the official Thunderbolt analysis of our current situation. With modern technology, the machine no longer needs vast hordes of slaves to do all their hard work for them. And thus, vast swathes of our population have become what I have heard referred to as useless mouths, or someone who produces no profit for the capitalists, as they feel that our lives have no value unless our lives are being used to enrich their lives. And at the very same time, white people in the United States are about to become a minority, and many of them are not at all comfortable with that fact. And I'm pretty sure that one of the reasons for the immigrant ban was to reverse this demographic trend.
Standing at the machine every day for all my life, I'm used to do it, and I need it. It's the only thing I want is just to rush, push, cash. Standing at the machine every day for all my life, I'm used to do it, and I need it. It's the only thing I want is just to rush, push, cash.
And meanwhile, Steve Bannon is reportedly having wet dreams, thinking about instigating a war with someone. And a massive war could get rid of a lot of those useless colored mouths that have now
standing at the machine every day for all my
become so problematic
to
our national leaders.
Standing at the machine every day for all my life, I'm used to do it, and I need it. It's the only thing I want is just to rush, push, cash. Standing at the machine every day for all my life, I'm used to do it, and I need it. It's the only thing I want is just to rush,
of those useless mouths.
Standing at the machine every day,
the Republicans' new health care plan has also been revealed. Now, a lot of people don't know it, but Obamacare is largely being paid for by a tax on rich people. Well, I really hate to shock you, but the Republicans' plan will eliminate this tax.
I know you think I'm crazy. I gotta ask you all the same. I know you're just a messian. I wanna dance with you. That's my game, cuz.
And thus, the Republicans' plan will greatly benefit the rich. For the 8 wealthiest families in the United States, will get tax cuts worth an average of $7 million each.
Standing at the machine every day for all my life, I'm used to do it.
While it will be the poor, of course, that will be paying for all this. The details of the new health care bill are easy to find, should you wish to do so. But I think you will find that my summation pretty well sums it up.
I'm kind of dying.
And since good news is so rare these days, I am very happy to be able to report that since I recorded this piece, the Republicans' health care plan went down in flames. Next, the Thunderbolt would like to present evidence that some anarchists are idiots. At Berkeley, California, the home of the free speech movement, a bunch of anarchists successfully shut down the free speech of a white-wing firebrand named Milo Yiannopoulos. Now, Mr. Yiannopoulos intentionally says outrageously foul crap in order to goad liberals and anarchists into attacking him, because their attacks provide him with the kind of publicity that you cannot pay for. Besides the fact that shutting down other people's free speech just because you don't like what they are saying makes me rip my hair out, after they shut down his speech, in nutcase right-winger world, Mr. Yiannopoulos was elevated to the status of a legendary folk hero. Sales of his book skyrocketed. He was even given a prestigious speaking slot at the CPAC conference. Yes, those anarchist kids provided Mr. Yiannopoulos with the kind of publicity that you cannot pay for. But then, an old video of Milo Yiannopoulos promoting the glories of raping children surfaced. And evidently, raping children is a bridge too far even for the rump bots. Mr. Yiannopoulos' career now appears to have instantly fallen into the toilet. And no one has any interest in Mr. Yiannopoulos' free speech anymore. The flurry of denunciations and cancellations included his big career-making speech at CPAC. And I can't help but note with conscious irony that Mr. Yiannopoulos thus fell because he was allowed his free speech.
Oh.
Throughout the 1950s, the head of British intelligence operations against the Soviet Union was a Soviet spy. His name was Kim Philby, and he was never caught. He has suddenly popped up in the Soviet Union one day and said, "Ha ha ha, I was a spy the whole time.
Standing at the machine every day for all my life. I'm used to do it and I need it. It's the only thing I want is just to rush, push, cash."
Actually, full disclosure, I am paraphrasing Mr. Philby's words here.
Standing at the machine every day for all my life. I'm used to do it and I need it. It's the only thing I want is just to rush.
That was not push, the only cash. Spectacularly remarkable intelligence coup.
Standing at the machine every day for all my life. I'm used to do it and I need it. It's the only
that
thing
the
I want
Soviets
just to
have managed push, to pull off cash, over the decades. But it was probably the most impressive. Russia has been to the Forge more than once. They are very good.
I know you think I'm crazy. I'm gonna ask you all the same. I know you're just an ass here. I wanna dance with you. That's my game, cuz.
Writing off this whole Russia secretly controls Trump meme as hysteria from Democratic Party hacks that could not accept the election's outcome. However, that was before the Rump's people kept lying about a lack of Russian connections that later proved to have actually existed. It would appear as if some of the Rump's minions are just as inept at lying as he is. And in the context of questions about the Russians, this brings the obvious question. Why do the Rump's people keep lying about that particular question?
Standing at the machine every day for all my life. I'm used to do it and I need it. It's the only thing I want is just to rush.
So maybe there's a there. After all, yes. And as if things weren't already crazy enough around here, now it is time to pull out some old Sinatra LPs and fire up the old VCR, because the toothless old grandpa himself is waiting in the wings to take us away. Hey, Grandpa, so how is things on your side of reality?
Well, son, my reality is currently being dominated by the fact that liberals are such a bunch of idiots.
Ooh, ouch. One thing I will say for you, Grandpa, is that we can always count on you for...
You can count on me to can the crap and bedoodleate the fartuplias is what you can count on me for. I like to tell it like it are, and we is gonna go blast us a few liberals with a few choice
thunderbolts.
Hang on to your dogma, cause we's gonna go and gut us some sacred cows now. Yippee, yee-haw, yay!
So I forget who she was, and I even forget what she did for a living. But some celebrity-type person was planning a trip to South Africa recently when she tweeted a sarcastic joke
about not having to fear contacting AIDS whilst in South Africa because she was white. Ha ha ha. Good one. Wish I'd have thought of that. However, her joke triggered a wave of social media outrage. Okay, I personally know that the world is full of people who don't understand and or do not appreciate ironic sarcasm. My own twisted sense of humor has gotten me into trouble on more than one occasion. That's a gimme. However, all respect I had for the unknown celebrity in question flew out the window when she subsequently and abjectly apologized. WTF? Really? Some self-righteous, humorless idiots who cannot take a joke get upset, and you freaking apologize to them? So I quit expecting everyone else to be like me a long time ago. And in fact, if I ever meet anyone that even remotely resembles me, I suspect I would find it a rather alarming experience. But really? Had the same thing happen to me, I can guarantee you that not only would I have refused to apologize.
McKinney, hollering McKinney, squad, doctor and McKinney, I can't find the code, you're bound to die, bound to die.
But I would have suggested that I had been engaging in highlighting the absurdity of racism. And that I not only consider highlighting the absurdity of racism to be an honorable thing to do, but I consider highlighting the absurdity of racism to be a required thing to do.
Oh, it's okay, you rascal, see what you've done. You shot my husband, I got your gun. I'm taking you back, Washington. You're ticked, you're bound to die, bound to die.
And thus, rather than an apology, I would have instead suggested that my critics could go engage in some physically impossible sexual act with one of their maternal ancestors.
Already bound in a white house, doing his best, killing in the graveyard, taking in the rest. He's gone, long gone.
Yep, as I always say, joke them if they can't take a... She should have demanded an apology from them.
And now, ladies and gents, I have the privilege to play for you for the first time what I'm sure will be a hit record for Uncle O and Senator Jim Shady. Hold on, folks, but she twinks.
And here is even more evidence that some liberals are total idiots. There's a big move to impeach the Rump. If they impeach the Rump, then we get the Pence. So it's pretty obvious to me that Mike Pence was the price that the uber wealthy radical right-wing Christian jihadists demanded of the Rump in return for their support. Buck Pence is in touch with people such as Eric Prince, and thus our new vice president theoretically has access to a private mercenary army, should he feel the need of one. And Mike Pence is in touch with organizations such as Operation Rescue. In addition, Mike Pence enthusiastically embraces the ideology of killing in the name of. Yes, kids, Mike Pence has serious money behind him. He has serious organization behind him. And I personally consider Mike Pence to be a Trojan horse for the witch burners, who could never get one of their own into the White House by any normal means. And that means that a President Pence would be exponentially worse than a President Trump by several orders of magnitude. So unless you want a full-fledged theocrat sitting in the White House, then I would suggest that if anything, we should all probably be praying for Donald Trump.
Damn, Grandpa, you certainly have a way with things. The views expressed on the Thunderbolt are my views, and no one else's. Those views do not necessarily reflect the views of KHUH-FM, nor anyone that has anything to do with KHUH-FM. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. The facts are what the facts are. The problem is that the facts are being ignored. And we now have a phenomenon called alternative facts. Well, actually, we've always had alternative facts. It's just that they have now become so ubiquitous that they have actually been identified and named in the media machine, which historically has itself been one of the central disseminators of these alternative facts, but whose monopoly has now been completely shattered by the Rump, who tours the country now like a rock star, spouting lie after lie after lie to his cheering armies of acolytes. Actually, excuse me, I meant to say that the Rump was now touring the country like a rock star, spouting alternative fact after alternative fact after alternative fact to his cheering armies of acolytes. Yes, According to our new president, our two main domestic problems are that rich people pay too many taxes and that the United States is being invaded by millions of hard-working, good-natured, family-oriented people who have really good food and really fun music. Yes, be afraid. And concerning those immigrants, only the most ambitious even make the attempt to come here, and of that number, only the most resourceful make it through the insane gauntlet that they must negotiate in order to get here, meaning that we are getting the very best of the very best of the Mexican people. But in the alternative reality of Rump World, pretty soon, we will find Bill Gates sleeping under a bridge while the rest of us are bowing down before our new taco truck overlords. Yes, be afraid. Be very afraid. And on the foreign policy front, in the alternative reality of our new president, our main problem is terrorism. Well, it would seem to me that one method of curbing terrorism would be to stop funding terrorist organizations with American tax dollars. But what do I know? Trump is preparing to kill the goose that has laid so many golden eggs for us. And I would argue that in spite of the wealth created by a cheap and abundant oil, scientific and technological breakthroughs have actually been the biggest wealth generators in human history. All of that oil would have been of highly limited utility without all of the machines that the oil lubricates. And in addition, in the context of those wealth-generating scientific and technological breakthroughs, there is another class of immigrants that I am not hearing anyone talking about. Consider about 50% of the engineers, programmers, and designers in Silicon Valley are foreign born. China, Taiwan, and India are all very well represented in the burbs of San Jose. Most of them are in the United States under what is called an H-1B visa. Now, there are some who speak against the H-1B program. They say that these people are taking jobs from Americans. But the facts, as opposed to their alternative facts, are that the H-1B people have created many more jobs than they have taken by several orders of magnitude. The facts, as opposed to the alternative facts, are that it was largely foreigners that built America's great tech revolution. So ask yourself, why must Bill Gates stand before Congress every year, justifying the fact that he absolutely, positively must have his small army of foreigners in order to conduct Microsoft's business? Well, here is why. The United States has the worst public educational system for both math and science in the whole developed world. Our students score dead last in every test and in every field. And this is not just for this year or last year either. This has been going on for decades. Yet at the same time, Silicon Valley is the world's mecca for technological expertise and innovations. Now, there are two reasons for this. The first is that, ironically, but not unintentionally, the United States also has the best institutions of higher learning in the whole world. Yes, these universities turn out highly developed and thoroughly educated brains every year. It's just that, unfortunately for the American students, they must spend their first year in college playing catch-up in order to make up for the many deficiencies within their grammar and high school educations, while most foreign students do not. The second reason for the U.S. being the world's leader in tech, in spite of our abysmal education system, is the H-1B visa. Thanks to the H-1B, there is a massive brain drain from the rest of the world into the United States every year. And not only that, but we get the cream of the cream from everywhere else simply because back in the day we established ourselves as the center not only of the technological world, but of the economic, educational, and cultural worlds as well. Yes, the United States is the place to be, and within the United States, Silicon Valley is the place to be. For technological engineers and entrepreneurs, anyway. The H-1B people are not replacing American workers, because there are virtually no American workers to replace. 50% of the PhD students that are majoring in physics in our American universities are foreign-born. And many of them stay here after graduation on an H-1B. This means that we are getting everyone else's best people in these fields as well. And these days, most of them are Chinese. And so, you may or may not ask, rather than sending all of their best and brightest to study in America's universities, and then go to work in Silicon Valley, why doesn't China simply build their own universities and their own Silicon Valley and begin offering golden carrots to their own scientists? Well, I am theorizing here, but I believe a lot of that is cultural. For you see, Asian culture views individuals and society in a much different manner than the West does, in that subsuming the individual wants for the good of the whole is much more ingrained into Asian culture than it is in the West. Individualism is not usually a valued trait in Asian cultures. The nail that sticks out is the one that gets hammered down is a popular aphorism in most Asian cultures. And as with most things in this universe, this attribute has positive aspects and negative aspects. For instance, this attribute means that most Asians stand ever ready to do whatever needs to be done to protect their families or their villages or their country or whatever. And this attribute makes Asians into an utterly united and truly formidable force when dealing with them from the outside. However, at the same time, this attribute also tends to stifle the crazy genius, innovative creativity that is necessary for truly revolutionary change and technological advances to happen. In Asian culture, people such as Bill Gates and Elon Musk tend to be the nails that stick out.
Need somebody sometimes, sometimes.
And that is why the Chinese are ever ready to beg, borrow, or steal all of the American patents and innovations that they can get their billions of little hands on. And that is why Chinese flood American universities with Chinese students. And that is why the Chinese are constantly getting caught with their hands in our technological cookie jar. The Chinese have trained a literal army.
Everybody.
Of top scientists.
Need somebody. Sometimes. Sometimes.
Who are very patient. And who will unquestioningly follow any orders that they are given. And who are fully capable of very efficiently doing whatever work is laid out before them, but who also have absolutely zip when it comes to any kind of creative thinking. In the United States, on the other hand, rather than hammering nails, we tend to put grease on squeaky wheels. After World War II,
I know you think I'm crazy, I'm gonna ask you all the same.
As I have often noted before,
I know you're just a mess, I'm gonna dance with you, that's my game.
Pretty much the entire world lay utterly devastated and at the complete mercy of the United States. This meant that the United States, in addition to all of the other advantages offered to the one unassailable economic and military power on the planet, became a mecca for displaced scientists the world over, especially the Jewish ones. People such as Albert Einstein, for instance. So consider this. Every American that has ever won a Nobel Prize in the sciences has been foreign-born. And what that means is that the great American scientific renaissance has been built almost completely by immigrants. Mexicans coming to pick our fruit, to the scientists coming to invent the newest technological breakthrough, we are getting the best of the best that the rest of the world has to offer. And we are getting them both through, quote, legal and illegal means. Now, an argument could be made, in fact, that it was our immigrants that made America great in the first place. So I really hope that the xenophobes who are currently running our country do not allow their beliefs to trump the facts. However, I suspect that we will be operating in alternative realities for the foreseeable future. So that means it is both time to cover your ass and it is time to get to work. Right. So that is it for this week's news and commentary section. We'll have some music now. This is Uncle Banzai.
Thank you guys. Even though I don't know what you're doing over there, but we're literally official. Oh, you're recording.
Remember that?
You mean you got all these for public radio? We're gonna do it. Would you like to introduce this song?
We have one more children's song for you. It's my opinion that a child is never too young to learn about Freud.
Okay, so this is a song about what Ashley and I would do if one day we were so lucky as to be endowed with a penis of our own.
One each.
One each, that's right. Because, you know, I'll share the motorhome with you, but, you know.
Really?
I'll only go so far.
Well, one of you sleeps in the upper, one of you sleeps in the lower bunk, so it would have been a really ugly scene.
It would have been like Slinky. One for public radio. anyway, this is what we would do. We made a list of sort of things we thought would be fantastic to do with it, and that's what this song is.
Right. It's called, appropriately, Penis Envy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
In cafes and car lots with pop and with pride. If I had a penis, I'd pamper it proper. I'd stay in the tub and use me as the stopper. If I had a penis, I'd take it to parties, stretch it and stroke it and shout it at Smarties. I'd take it to pet shows and teach it to stay. I'd stuff it in turkeys on Thanksgiving Day. I'd fierce. I shower my spire with girlies and gifts. I peek around corners, I aim at my toilet. I poke it at borders, I soap it and oil it. If I had a penis, I'd run to my mother, comb up the hair and compare it to brother. I'd lance her, I'd knight her, my hands would indulge. Pants would seem tighter and buckle and bulge. A penis to plunder, a penis to push, 'cause one in the hat is worth one in the bush. A penis to love me, a penis to share. To pick up and play with when nobody's there. I'd sit like a guy, I'd straddle the chair. I'd play with my fly, albeit with care. I'd dip it in chocolate, I'd stick it in sockets. I'd stroll to the movies with hands deep in pockets. I'd stick it in vacuums, I'm vacant for glass and gorillas, Slurpees and slippers, chinooks and chinchillas, a penis to plunder, a penis to push. There's one in the hat is with one in the bush. A penis to love me, a penis to share. To pick up and play with when nobody's there. If I had a penis, I'd climb every mountain.
I'd force it on females, I'd pee like a fountain.
If I had a penis, I'd still be a girl. But I make much more money and conquer the world.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Enjoy your evening.
Men
within her neighborhood.
She gives them all the eye
and chooses one or two
to buy her little things
and have a rendezvous. She has a rendezvous.
She tries to look her best.
She tries so hard to smile.
She wants them all to see. She's got a touch of style.
She wears a slitted dress,
which was a little tight,
and acts so nonchalant
as she goes walking by.
She thinks the men are cute.
She likes to wheel them in.
It's just to play it cool.
With such a touch of sin,
she makes them draw on strong
to see who'll take her out.
She likes a doggy dog,
and they begin to shout,
Susie, won't you come out tonight? Susie, won't you go for a ride? Susie, I got tickets for the best show in town. Won't you come along and sit on my side? Susie, won't you go to the game? Susie, won't you come to the dance? Susie, don't you think that I can come inside? Susie, won't you give me a chance?
Okay, maybe. She's learned to set her goals.
She wants an even tan.
She doesn't mind her work.
She does the best she can.
She gives the men a smile.
They think she fools around.
They want to buy her drinks.
She wants to settle down.
She likes to play the fee.
Before
she knows his name, she doesn't want it by.
She thinks it's rather nice the way they always go. Susie, won't you come out tonight? Susie, won't you come for a ride? Susie, I got tickets for the best show in town. Won't you come along and sit by my side? Susie, won't you go to the game? Susie, won't you come to the dance? Susie, don't you think that I could come inside? Oh, Susie, won't you give me a chance?
She thinks she needs that walk. She looks dressed as tight.
She wish she had the nerve
to be alone at night.
She's got her mind made up. She's found the only way.
She hates the pressure, but she likes to hear them say,
Susie, won't you come out tonight? Susie, won't you go for a ride? Susie, I got tickets for the best show in town. Won't you come along and sit by my side? Susie, won't you go to the game? Susie, won't you come to the dance? Susie, don't you think that I could come inside? Susie, won't you give me a chance?
In the meantime, who's a cartoon? Are you a cartoon?
Alvin and the Chipmunks with I Ain't No Dang Cartoon, even though actually he is. Before that, we had Susie from Uncle Banzai, and we started off the set with Penis Envy by Uncle Banzai. And that is it for the Thunderbolt this week, kids. But there's no need to tear yourself up over it, because I will be back next week. So never fear. In the meanwhile, have a good time. Peace. The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way, is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt, nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to dana98501@gmail.com and we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And a quick note here. The Thunderbolt is on Facebook, where you can find links to the show and to the show notes, or you can go to radioforall.net. That's radio4all.net, where you can also find the show notes, as well as a year's worth of downloadable episodes of the Thunderbolt.
Thank you very much.